holding in that pressure could do a lot of damage. The English patient did make a full recovery. I'm Jackie Quinn.
One after one, gymnasts and other victims of a disgraced former sports doctor stepped forward in a Michigan courtroom today to recount the sexual abuse and emotional trauma Larry Nassar inflicted on them as children. One with the warning that, quote, little girls don't stay little forever. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
We're back with some guests this week.
Yes. Yes, we are. We have Miss Chelsea Bailey.
Hola.
And Monica Hicks.
Howdy, howdy.
Now, we've mentioned Monica a lot on this show, but I don't think you've been on our show before. Is this correct?
No, this is my first time actually being on the show.
Scheduled conflict.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. So, I did mention you, I believe it was...
You went a little public radio voice right there. Well, welcome.
Well, I do listen to a lot of public radio, so it's probably going to bleed in. But I mentioned you when we talked about how disappointed we were with downsizing.
Yes.
And that you made the perfect analogy that it looked like...
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meet Stepford Wives.
Which is the movie we all wanted.
Yeah.
And is not the movie we got.
I was very disappointed. But opportunity missed.
Right.
You can have a couple moments to talk about that because of how terrible it was. If you'd like.
No, I think you guys pretty much covered it last time.
Yeah, we actually just kind of glossed over it just because it was in the middle of our Stephen King episode.
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure that people didn't, because the episode before we had talked about how excited we were to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to make sure that people did not waste their time and money because that was a terrible movie.
Well, glossing over it's pretty accurate. It's like, meh.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you have a movie like that, all the trailer showed you was, you know, them shrieking people down and, oh, we're going to be in a big world, you know, in a small world looking
big. And
Neil
Patrick Harris was in the movie.
And
not nearly enough.
Yeah. All you saw him in the trailer was pretty much all he was in the movie.
He may have had three extra lines.
Right.
Yeah.
And
but all in the same scene.
Yeah.
And all of the sight gags that they showed in the trailer was all there was in the movie. So mm-hmm. the rest of the movie had nothing to do with the fact that they were small and just became a political commentary.
End of the world.
Well, just, yeah,
and
piece of crap.
Their entire world was also very detailed in a weird way. Like you'd think that if it was made by big people trying to shrink things down, that they wouldn't be so detailed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd have shown more big things in their world.
So are they, like, paying a ton of people to shrink down and then just become workers? Like, there is not a lot of explanation for things mm-hmm. that needed explanation.
Yeah, there are way too many people in poverty in this little community mm-hmm. than makes me comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I feel that if you're going to be paying that much money, that you shouldn't get there and then be broke. And I understand that some people got small in other countries as political punishment or whatever, but this was one community somewhere in the South, Texas or Arizona, New Mexico, something like that. And it had a small...
It's all forgettable.
It had a small, like, slum thing attached to it. It didn't seem like the community was old enough to really support that much of a... slum.
Yeah.
I just don't like
that. Well, it's like outside of a dome.
Yeah.
Because you had to go through the tunnel of the domed community.
Yeah, it was like through a hole in the whole like building dome thing.
It was
like they were in dire threat of being attacked by street cats.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Anyway. So, that's not what we're here to talk about today, but we just like side note.
We're here to talk about, the Academy Awards season's up. Coming up upon us. We already have the Golden Globes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, the official start of the awards season.
Yeah. So we decided to watch a few of these. One of them in particular is Get Out, mm-hmm. which is a movie that is written and directed by Jordan Peele of Key and Peele fame from Comedy Central.
Right. Which I've been a fan of his for a very long time.
Since his Mad TV days?
Well, okay. So not as long as you.
Okay.
You were a fan since Mad TV. I was a fan with Key and Peele, and also he is one of my favorite voice actors on Bob's Burgers, which is hard because there's a lot of good talent on that show.
Well, because he plays a female, and his female is hilarious.
I do love his female characters. He makes a beautiful woman on Key and Peele when he's in his girl
makeup.
He's hot.
Yeah,
he's hot.
So, I'm a little behind in this.
Yeah, who does he play on Bob's Burgers?
So he plays Mr. Fish Odor's brother.
Who is voiced by Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, it's his girlfriend. And she is this, like, club. She wants to have, like, her own music career. And so he flaunts her with money. And so she's, like, a trophy girlfriend. And it's really quite hilarious.
Who's that knocking on my door? Oh, it's Mr. Dance Floor.
Yes, that. But
her big song.
So Key and Peele was a show on Comedy Central, which was sketch comedy, and they pretty much did everything, and the show ended so they can focus on other things, including a movie called Keanu, which was about a guy whose cat is stolen.
By the mob.
It's really funny because I know John Wick is about a guy his dog is murdered, and he goes after the people, so it's really funny that the cat is taken by gangsters, and the cat's name is Keanu.
Well, to be fair, with Get Out, it's more than just the dog dying. It was like his dying.
You mean John Wick?
Yeah, John Wick. It was his dead wife's last gift to him, and it was, you know, sentimental. Mm. I haven't seen Keanu, so I have no idea if that plays a part.
I haven't seen either of those. Again, I'm a little behind. This is like the perfect thing.
I think the name was an homage to that, but that's pretty much it. But I mean, the movie was okay. It was just okay.
So
it wasn't
heard,
anything special.
So when we heard that Jordan Peele was doing a movie that he wrote and directed, and it was not a comedy, which we'll play into this thing later.
Yeah.
It's not a comedy. It's we were intrigued, and I believe that this movie, it just been announced recently that Jordan Peele will head a new version of the TV show, The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, he'll be one of the showrunners.
Mm-hmm. So we decided to watch it last week. And Monica, what'd you think?
I thought it was really good. It's not what I expected from the trailer. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
The trailer doesn't really give a lot away.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't tell you what it is. It plays into the fact that, okay, there's some weird things going on in this movie, but it doesn't tell you what those weird things are. You just get a vibe for the fact that it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer a while back, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And it went out of my mind. And you guys brought it up. I'm like, oh, okay, let's watch it. And then I was hooked.
Yeah, we watched it with you for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, we all watched it together. Because I bought it because I had heard good things about it. I mean, it's like a score of 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's staying there.
Surprising.
Like, it doesn't, like, I know some of them start out, like, Lady Bird was at 100, but I mean, I think it's now dropped to like 97 or something like that. But Get Out was at a score of 100, and it dropped to 99 and has now stayed at 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's great. We go in, we watch it, and so the thing that made us watch it is because it was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated in the category of Best Comedy or Musical.
Yeah, and this is something that Chelsea brought up on an earlier episode. I'm like, yeah, no, it's not a comedy. She's like, yeah, I know, but it was still nominated. And yes, it was nominated for a comedy / musical. And
I don't get it.
What was up with the Golden Globes this year?
I don't know.
Because there was only like one movie in the best comedy or musical category that was a comedy or a musical.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't win.
No.
Robbed.
And that was Greatest Show.
The Greatest Showman.
Yeah. Which, you know, is a great musical and a great story, and I highly recommend it. But, I mean, it's the only one that actively fits in the category. So why nominate movies that don't belong and just go, okay, so we're not going to have that category this year because there wasn't really anything that fit.
It was just weird this year. I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be other movies that could fit into that better.
Mm-hmm. You would think. I hope that the Oscars don't pull from that. Like, I hope that the Oscars have a little better understanding of what movie genres are.
Yeah.
So Best Picture, Comedy or Musical, The Disaster Artist, which I would admit is funny, but I wouldn't call it a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, because it's a biopic.
It's funny.
Well, a biopic of that
yeah,
time.
It's funny because it's so ridiculous that Tommy Wiseau was so insane.
Yeah.
That's what makes it comical, but it's not a comedy.
Correct.
Get Out, which was obviously not a comedy.
Which we'll get into.
The Greatest Showman. Okay,
that's
musical.
Musical, fine.
Yes. I, Tonya. Which, again, is a biopic about Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, you know, the attack on Nancy Kerrigan.
The fact that her life was so tragic is hilarious.
This Olympic skater got hit in the knee with a crowbar, and now she can't compete and her career's over? That's hysterical. Is that like, is it, you know, the, like the kick to the nuts? Is that why we think this is funny? Because she got, I don't know. And then the last one is Lady Bird, which is a coming of age. Yeah. None of those are comedies.
No.
Yeah.
Well, none of those are comedies.
I just Googled some of the movies that came out in 2017, so they didn't use Despicable Me 3 or...
Well, animation has its own category.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because, I mean, the Lego Batman, I mean, that's all... I guess that's true. It's comedies. I mean, they're animated.
Was there really nothing funny going on in 2017 at all?
You know what? It was not a funny year.
It's not. But... Okay, so Get
although
Out.
Despicable Me still was not nominated, so the best animated films were The Boss Baby.
Boo.
I mean, I can't judge too harshly. I didn't see it, but really didn't want to. The Breadwinner. What is that?
I don't
what,
remember.
What is that?
Foreign, maybe?
Coco, which I had major plot problems with that movie. I did not like that movie at all. Ferdinand and Loving Vincent. I don't even know two of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing.
I found some comedies. Baywatch.
Okay, but I don't think it's award-winning.
Those kind of comedies would never be...
Hitman's Bodyguard?
Okay. That might fall into the category.
You know, comedies are not award-winning.
They're missing good quality. Like, back in the days of, like, Harry Met Sally. It's comedy, but it's well-written. It's got heart to it.
Right.
You don't really go for the slapstick comedies like Baywatch, where they're...
Or raunchy comedies.
But they're still a better fit than Get Out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Get Out was very good.
It was very good.
It's a social commentary of a movie. It's a thriller. A lot of people might think it's a horror movie, but, I mean, there's no real jump scares to it. It's because it's not. And it's what I said is it's a 90-minute audition reel for The Twilight Zone.
That's an excellent description of it. Like, that fits really well. Because
it is like a 90-minute Twilight Zone
because
episode.
Something is going on, and you're having to figure out what is going on in this community. And then the end of the movie is the reveal. And what's so interesting is that there's a original ending that Jordan decided not to go with because of the political landscape of the country. And the original, we won't ruin it, but the original version is so much more real.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely what I was expecting when it came to it.
And what I would have preferred after hearing what it was.
So, the thing about Get Out, like we said, the trailer does not give anything away. And it's one of the few movies in recent memory that I can think of that did not give away much of the story, which I'm so tired of trailers giving away, so I don't want to do that to anyone else. So I'm going to try to get around this the best way I can, give you a description of the movie. So basically, it is about a black guy who's dating a white girl, and she's taking him home to her family to meet the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very pristine white community full of rich white people. They're very cool with him. Like, there is nothing racial really going on.
They're all very fascinated by him. Like, they all really want to talk to him, and they don't seem to look down on him in any way. They are all very impressed with him and, you know, very accepting of him into their their world.
And there's no hint of racism or hatred or bigotry towards him, which is really interesting. But yet, even in their kindness, it's somebody who we met somebody over the Thanksgiving holiday that's a friend of Vienna's, a coworker of Vienna's, who is black. And she said, this is a good movie for white people to watch about black people because it shows a thing called microaggressions, which I didn't even know existed. I'm gonna admit, I didn't know. And what it is it's basically you're doing things that are slightly racist that you don't even know you're doing.
You know, it's way skew off, but there is a really good example of that in Zootopia. So Zootopia is, of course, it's a racial storyline.
They just changed color
for species.
Class of species. Yeah.
So in the scene where Judy Hopps, the bunny cop, meets Nick Wilde, the fox, the con artist fox, for the first time, they're in an ice cream parlor, and he's just trying to get the jumbo pop for his, you know, quote unquote child, and the elephant's not wanting to serve him because he's not an elephant. And Judy's like, "Oh, well, I'm sorry. I see tons of health code violations here. I'm sure your customers would be very interested to know that they're getting snot in their rocky road. Why don't you go ahead and sell the man an ice cream?" And then they go outside, and she says, "It just makes me so mad when people, you know, just don't understand when people are different from them. But you seem like a very smart and articulate fella."
Yeah, and you're like, the fact that that movie was not nominated for an Oscar. Was the worst. Yeah, because that is... Zootopia is actually the best movie I think has come out in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, it's not a kid movie that you have to sit there and go, oh, we're pandering down to kids. It is smart. It is just hilarious. It is heartwarming and without being stupid. It doesn't play down.
It's one of the few animated movies that I would say just skip the animated category and should have just gone for Best Picture.
Yeah, like Beauty and the Beast was back in 91. Yeah.
But anyway, back to Get Out.
Back to Get Out. So you realize that things are not quite right in this town, and you just don't know what.
Well, and there's staff of her family. There's the maid and like
the groundskeeper,
and they are black. Mm-hmm. And there's just something off about
them.
Well,
and the dad is the one who brings it up. So the dad even says to him, because he takes the boyfriend out for a walk and around. He's like, I know what you're thinking. It looks really bad, you know, having white family with black servants, but they were brought on to care for my parents as they were ailing. And once they passed, we didn't want to have them go. I didn't have the heart to let them go and fire them, you know, so we decided to keep them with a job, which, great, you know, so you're awesome.
And the dad is played brilliantly by Bradley Whitford.
From The West Wing.
Yeah, he does a great job being super creepy, yet nice at the same time.
It's almost like they're so nice it's creepy, like it's creepy how nice they're being.
Exactly, exactly.
And so things happen, and at this point is where I'm going to probably have to just break off with my description, because things start happening, and they don't have a lot of explanation until the explanation happens, and it happens very quickly.
Yeah.
So absolutely go see it. There's a reason why it has 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that is because it is really good.
And shout out to Stephen Root. I love me some Stephen Root. So he's best known for his comedy. You know, he was in Office Space. You know, someone into my stapler.
Yeah, he's Milton from Office Space.
He's Milton from Office Space. He's Bill Dautrey from King of the Hill. So he usually plays these kind of weird off characters. Mm-hmm. Recently, he's done a lot more where he's a straight man character. Like even in his comedies, he's still a straight man. He was in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Mm-hmm. And while that is a funny, you know, silly comedy, he plays their father who was getting fed up with their antics. So he's done some more straight roles, but he's very good in this. He plays one of the community members, and he is blind, but he's a blind art dealer. And he's like, you know, when I had my sight, I could, you know, I knew what was good.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of one of those that was those who can't do, you know, I know the phrase is those who can't do teach, but he was those who can't do self because he wasn't an artist himself, but he had a good eye for what people would want.
Which for me is weird because if you can tell what's good, don't you know, you can't translate that to behind the camera. Anyway.
Okay. Now, do you know what? Not really, because like there's things that I know when I'm looking at it, it's not good, but I couldn't do better myself, but I know it's not good.
Yeah.
Like I can look at paintings and, you know, say, well, that's not, you know, not very much work went into that and that's crap, but I'm not artistic enough to do better.
All right. Well, so bottom line, if you haven't seen it yet, check out Get Out. It's
absolutely
really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. So if you like The Twilight Zone and you like those kind of shows for, you know, the moral story behind it, check it out. We will be right back. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
What does it take to be called the best of the North State? More importantly, what does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes a business ownership, management, and staff that work together to let their customers know that they're not just customers, they're family. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition Center has held to that commitment. Their commitment to bring to you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. To never buy closeouts, overstocks, outdated, improperly formulated, or otherwise stressed merchandise. To provide you with a trained professional staff to help you make the right product decisions for the health of you and your family. To listen, to respond, and to always say thank you. Because we realize that we're all in this together. What does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes you. Thank you from everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez, and we are joined today by Monica Hicks and Chelsea Bailey.
Say hello, ladies.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, ladies.
There you go.
Rim shot.
Yep.
Okay, so before we get into the next topic, we wanted to plug a few things. One is our website. So if you're listening to this, you caught it halfway through on the radio, be sure to check out our website, gomezcast.com, where we have all of our episodes that you can either stream them if you have an internet connection, or if you're going to be going on a trip where there's no signal, you can download them to your phone, your computer. If you have one of those fancy things that burns CDs, you can do that too. So you can listen to a podcast on a CD. Who would have thought that could happen?
Right. We also have links to everything we talk about. Any movies, we link to the IMDb page for more information. Any videos that we mention, we'll always link to there. And we always have some fun pictures. And so absolutely check us out, gomezcast.com.
And we are also joined Fantasy Movie League.
Mm-hmm.
This is an app you can get on an Apple phone or
Android.
Android, yes. It's called Fantasy Movie League. Super simple. So if you are not amongst the sporting people that do fantasy football, like myself, then you should definitely join this. Super simple. You get on Fantasy Movie League, get the app. It's free. And what you do is you just sometime between Tuesday, usually between Tuesday and Friday, you pick. You have a theater of eight spots, eight movie screens that you get to in this fantasy movie theater. You get $1,000 to purchase movie rights to certain movies that are out right now, and you fill your theater with movies. During the weekend, the box office scores will tabulate, and if you're close enough to an estimate to get higher, you go higher up on the Fantasy Movie League. So you're drafting movies instead of players. So we have a specific league for this show. So if you get the Fantasy Movie League, look up We're a Little Behind as a league.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a password to get in because it requires a password. This is going to be really difficult, so get a pen. It's all caps, and it's W-A-L-B for We're a Little Behind. So, yes, four letters, all caps, W-A-L-B.
So download the app. You can also get more information at fantasymovieleague.com.
There you go.
Along with a little video that tells you how to play.
Okay, so here's a movie that we're going to talk about that is, it's old by how many years?
It came out in 2006.
Okay. Now, speaking of Stephen Root, who is on King of the Hill, and also in Office Space, we have one that actually coincides with that. It's called Idiocracy.
by the venerable Mike Judge.
Mike Judge of Beavis and Butthead fame.
You know what? I hated Beavis and Butthead.
And
when I found out that King of the Hill was done by Mike Judge, I'm like, I don't want to watch this show. But then from the very first minute of that show, I've been hooked, and I have missed that show every day since it's been taken off the air.
There has been talks of it coming back.
I know. But his movies are amazing. Office Space is the quintessential office workers movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is perfect. Extract, which is a Jason Bateman movie about a vanilla extract factory, is decent.
Decent.
It's not Office Space.
Mila Kunis is in that, too.
Mila Kunis is in it. It's decent. But Idiocracy has got to be one of the crowning jewels.
Now, Idiocracy, okay, I really love Maya Rudolph. So I was interested in this movie because of that, honestly. I like a lot of stuff that Maya Rudolph does. I watched this movie the first time. Did not love it. Believe it or not, I did not love it.
Yeah.
It
didn't test well.
The movie starts out very funny, though. It's basically, so the premise of this movie is that people are getting stupider. And it's true that how they explain it is that stupid people breed more because
mm-hmm.
they just do. And the smart, so intelligence has hit its peak and it's now going down. So a normal guy in the military gets part of an experiment to freeze him for a year.
Mm-hmm. In 2005.
In 2005. So he's supposed to wake up in 2006. Well, long story short, things go wrong, they forget about him, and he wakes up in 2,505.
Mm-hmm.
So 500 years after he's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Maya Rudolph is a female that they had to get outside of the military, and she's a prostitute. And so she is also woke up 500 years later. And things go terribly awry in the future. Pretty much the intelligence level has gotten down to where people's average intelligence is like 43.
Mm-hmm. If that. And they have a food shortage because their crops won't grow. And that's because water to these people is just for the toilet.
Yeah.
And they've been quote, watering their crops with Bronto, which is Bronto, which is an energy drink because it has electrolytes.
It's what plants crave.
And it's just, and so he becomes the smartest man in the world.
So right now, in 2005, when this takes place, he is the most average. That's the reason why they picked him. He's the most average intelligence. He has no family.
He was right down the middle on everything.
Every test, he was right down the middle. So he was the most average guy you could possibly find. In the future, he wakes up, and he is the smartest man on the planet.
Yeah.
The president is a former reality star who was a wrestler, played by Terry Crews.
Beautifully by Terry Crews.
That's the mm-hmm. only thing I remember from this movie. So as you guys are talking, I'm going, what?
Yeah. It's got Dax Shepard in it, who is a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and whose only goal in life is to get money and watch his TV on a TV show called Ow My Balls,
mm-hmm.
which somebody gets kicked in the nuts.
Which is what earlier I was talking about. That's why I, Tonya, is so funny, because, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what did you think, Monica?
Because Chris and I are not behind on this. Well, I was behind because I didn't see it for a few years, but I have seen it. But Monica,
I was totally behind on this. I've never seen it.
We just brought her in with this.
It was pretty funny, but it was kind of scary.
Right? It's so real.
It's real. We're sadly heading in that direction.
Everything has corporation logos on it. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
the clothes
everything.
You wear, the hospital, like, all the walls.
And we don't mean, like, we don't even mean, like, oh, it's got a patch or whatever.
No.
The clothing is a pattern of
advertisements.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely everything. Oh, it's, yeah.
Yeah. The rehabilitation in prison. Prison rehabilitation. You spend a day in rehabilitation because what it is, it's a monster truck demolition derby, and they put you in like a little Honda Civic up against these ginormous tank monster cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, when I watched it 12 years ago, I was not impressed because the beginning part of the movie is really funny. You can actually just take that beginning part and just. It's hilarious how it explains how it gets there. Yeah,
It has a case study of this man and woman who were married, who are both college educated, both professionals in their field, and how they're not ready to get they're not ready to have kids yet because it's just not the right time. They're waiting, and then it has the guy. What was his name?
Cleavon.
Cleavon. Yeah. And then it has Cleavon, who
is in a trailer park.
And lives in a trailer park, and it shows their family trees. And the smart couple, you know,
they're waiting until they're financially secure. They're waiting until all, you know, they're ready in life.
Oh, this isn't the right economy to bring in a child. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. And then eventually the husband dies. And so now it's just the woman who's like, oh, yeah, well, I froze my eggs and now I just have to wait around for the right guy. So they never procreate. Whereas Cleavon's family tree keeps getting bigger and bigger mm-hmm. because he keeps cheating on his wife with mm-hmm. random other people. And then his kids have kids in high school and it just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding.
And there were, like, looking at the family tree, there were other things like a donkey. And there were weird stuff in that family tree.
And so that part's hilarious. But when I watched it originally, I was like, it's way too far-fetched. I couldn't get into it because it was too far-fetched. In 12 years, there is way too much relatable. And you know, this isn't a political thing. This isn't me saying, you know, one party or the other. This is a society thing.
Oh, yeah, politics aside.
Yeah, politics mm-hmm. aside. This is absolutely kind of scary. I mean, the way everything's a reality show. And I mean, at the time, you didn't have the Kardashians, you didn't have all these mm-hmm. things. So this is a society thing, not a political thing. It's a dumbing down of society, and it's coming true. And then the corporations, that's the reason why all the plants are watered with Brondo, is because the corporations were able to convince Congress to make water, like, illegal.
Mm-hmm. So when he tells them, you need to water the plants, and they're like, water? Like, from the toilet? And he's like, well, it doesn't have to be from the toilet. And so they've been watering their crops with this energy drink, and it's been killing it. And so finally, the only reason...
It causes dust bowls because mm-hmm. it's so dry.
The only reason that he is saved from the rehabilitation, you know, monster truck rally is because he has proof that watering the plants has now made them start mm-hmm. growing. And so he becomes the vice president. And then eventually the president, and him and the girl the prostitute mm-hmm. that he was frozen in time with, you know, they end up falling in love because of course they do.
Yeah.
And they get married and they have three of the smartest kids in the world. And it's just, it's really funny. But then, the lawyer played by Dax Shepard, Fredo, because he kind of helped them out, even though he's a complete idiot too, he did help them. Mm-hmm. And so he becomes his vice president and
three wives.
Yeah. And him and his wives had 15 of the dumbest kids ever born. And so it shows that, you know what, this is going to take a really long time to fix.
Yeah. But there's just so many things you sit there. So if you watched it originally, so say you're listening to this show and you watched it when it came out, and maybe you felt the same way I did, where you weren't all that impressed. If you need to watch it again, if you haven't, and it's scary
mm-hmm.
how much has changed in 12 years.
I'm just glad I'm not going to be here in 500 years.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Well, and they even changed, like, it shows that it's different. So the restaurant Fuddruckers keeps, over the years, changing the continent. So it keeps getting further and further along to where it's like...
He's getting more and
more.
Yeah,
they keep moving the letters around. Yeah, and to where at the end, it ends in a... flat out curse word, mm-hmm. like just a lewd curse word, and that's normal. They don't. That's
yeah.
That's normal. Like
having kids parties there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Fuddruckers goes in there. So yeah. So right, I would say that now's the time to watch that movie.
Now is the time to watch that movie. That's
yeah.
That's
I mean, because the reality star president literally goes into Congress and says, "I told you I was going to do these things," and he literally takes a gun and starts firing it in the air in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it was in the middle of Times Square or something. I don't know. So that is where we're at. So you need to watch Idiocracy.
Yeah.
That is our recommendation. Stamp of approval.
Woo.
All right. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Everyone's looking for more out of life. But what exactly does more mean, and how and where do we find it? At Shasta College, more is whatever you want it to be. More degree and career options in virtually any field imaginable, from business and technology to healthcare, liberal arts, and beyond. More opportunities. The evolving economy requires well-trained, tech-savvy employees, and salaries are growing as fast as demand. Finally, there's more support. Shasta College is more than just a community college. It's a living, breathing academic community where every student has the chance to connect, be inspired, and achieve their career and life goals. A new semester starts soon at Shasta College, and there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Visit ShastaCollege.edu to browse classes, apply, and register before classes start filling up. There's more for you at Shasta this semester. Come see what we're all about. Shasta College. More possibilities.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Man from Earth. Be there as a retirement party for a far too young professor leads to more questions than answers for a group of friends wishing farewell. Is he immortal or is he an imposter? Only he knows for sure. Written by Jerome Bixby, directed by Daryl Alvey and Spencer Deardorff. Running January 20th through February 10th. Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2. Only at Riverfront Playhouse. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez. And we are having special guests with us today, Chelsea Bailey.
Hi.
And Monica Hicks.
Hello.
How are you enjoying the radio time?
This is fun. This is my first time recording something, so I'm having a blast.
Yay! So we decided during the commercial break to initiate Monica into the Have Seen the Ocean's 8 trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because now you've seen Ocean's 11,
mm-hmm.
and you're not quite sure if you think you've seen 13, but not 12.
Yeah, correct, yes.
Yeah, and we all have our own theories, and we'll get there. So, the Ocean's 8 trailer is pretty amazing. And if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, Danny Ocean is dead. So
he died this year.
Yeah.
2018.
I remember Chelsea messaged me at the middle of December. As soon as the trailer came out, she's like, have you seen it? It was like the morning of.
It was like the morning it came out. I'm like, and
so I watched it. So I watched it, and I saw that in this mausoleum that she's sitting in, his little tombstone thing says Danny Ocean, 1961 to 2018. And this was, I write her back. I'm like, did you see his name on there? I'm like, we still have time to save them.
Right.
2018 claimed its first victim before 2018.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm going to call it now. He faked his death.
All right.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, it seems like an Ocean thing to do.
Come on.
Well, it does seem like an Ocean thing to do, but...
So
I don't know.
I absolutely loved Ocean's 11. Like, from the very first moment I saw it, it is such a great heist movie.
Mm-hmm. You
and
love heist movies.
I love a good heist movie. Tower Heist was one of the worst pieces of crap I've ever seen. But Ocean's 11 is a magnificent movie because they show you exactly what is happening at every step of the movie. Yet it's still a twist at the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they show you exactly how they were doing it in the background, and you saw everything, but yeah. You didn't see everything, and it's just brilliantly done.
I love Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm. We actually tried to watch the original Ocean's 11, which was a Rat Pack movie with, you know, Sinatra and Sammy mm-hmm. Davis Jr., and
we got distracted. We didn't finish it, though.
We did. It was kind of boring.
Yeah, so maybe we should try again.
We should try again.
But, yeah, we got a little bored.
I'd like to see it, too. I haven't seen it.
But Ocean's 11 is one of my favorite movies. Like, it's way up there.
That cast is phenomenal.
That cast. Yeah. I think this movie is what explained to me why George Clooney is such a big deal. Because before this movie, I'm like, eh, I mean, yeah, he's good looking, but I just don't get it. I get it.
I agree. That was my George Clooney moment, was mm-hmm. Ocean's 11. And I think one of the great things about it, because you're saying it's such a great movie, it's one of those movies you can watch it over and over and over again and still be impressed at how they pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time.
There's a few movies that have twist endings or surprise endings that you can watch over and over again. This is one of them. Usual Suspects is another one I like to point out, because Usual Suspects is absolutely Fight Club.
You don't
talk about Fight Club. Yeah.
Identity, yeah. Which is on the list for Chris because he has not seen it.
I have not. But Ocean's 11. We're all in agreement Ocean's 11 is great.
It is a practically perfect heist movie.
Yeah.
It's the Mary Poppins of heist movies.
Oddly enough, they could not. The shot at the end where they're in front of the Bellagio fountains.
That bothers me.
Yeah, because they actually had to digitally do that differently because you can't get that shot.
There are trees.
You can't get that shot
in reality. There are trees in front of the Bellagio.
You can't in reality get that shot.
But when you look at how they made it, because didn't they like drain out part of the Bellagio? Is what I heard, and then they built like
They built a set into it. They have to, because the shot that they got, because the walkway where you stop to watch the water show at the Bellagio, which is amazing. If you ever get the chance to go to Vegas, make sure you go and stand in front of the Bellagio at night because it's awesome. And now they've added a drone show. Have you seen this going on?
No.
Yeah.
What?
So
what?
You can go on like on Facebook. There's video. They have started doing a drone dance show above the water show at the Bellagio, and it's amazing.
Well, $1 million worth of glass, right?
Yeah, but all the drones have little lights on them, and it's one guy who is controlling all these drones, and they all do a synchronized dance. It's very similar to what they did at the Super Bowl last year, before Lady Gaga sang. Now that was pre-recorded before the actual Super Bowl, but still, it was drones. Yeah.
Well, so, I can't even control one, so kudos to that guy.
Right. So when you're standing there at the barrier to watch the water show, right behind you is the sidewalk that has trees built into the sidewalk, and then beyond that is the road, the very, very busy Las Vegas Strip. So that would have been an impossible shot.
But the detail we're willing to let slide.
Yes.
Because the cast is
like
amazing.
I said, practically perfect.
Carl Reiner.
Oh, God.
The late Bernie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Affleck. Scott Conn.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
We're in Barney.
Elliot Gould.
Barney Rubble. Trouble!
Elliot Gould.
Yes.
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Matt Damon. Now, it had two sequels. It had Ocean's 12 and Ocean's 13.
Which makes sense. 11, 12, 13.
Because they add people to the group. Mm-hmm. So Ocean's 11 is 11 people in this group in the heist.
Right.
And you need a certain number of people. Ocean's 8, which is going to be coming out, is a now female cast.
So the sequels go 11, 12, 13, 8.
It's more of a spin-off.
Yeah. That's. I'm not sure how they know how to math. They mistake Common Core,
right?
It's a spinoff.
Whatever. It looks awesome.
It does.
I mean, I will say
now,
that it looks awesome.
I liked 12.
Let's talk about 12.
This is going to be good.
I liked 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my reasons for liking 12. Let's talk about why you don't. I'd rather convince you.
I cannot get past what they did with Julia Roberts' character. So Julia Roberts plays Danny Ocean's ex-wife
in 11.
And then at the end of the 11, they get back together. And so they're together in 12. And she is actively part of their world now. They have to get by somewhere. Like they're in one of the
museum.
Other museum, yeah, and they have to get by like security or something. And they all start to think, hey, Tess, which is her character, you know, Tess really looks like her. We could pass her off as her. And they're like, no, we can't do that. No, yeah, we are. So Tess gets passed off as Julia Roberts. She's freaking Julia Roberts impersonating Julia Roberts, and I'm not okay with it. And in the lobby of this museum, Bruce freaking Willis, who is Bruce Willis, playing Bruce Willis, walks by and he's like, oh, Julia, oh, it's great to see you. And I just don't like it. I don't like the meta-ness of it, that she is herself playing a character impersonating herself. It's
Julia
just
Roberts
not okay.
Exception.
Yeah.
Not okay. And Seth MacFarlane agrees with me.
Yeah, I know. I like 12 personally because I feel from a movie standpoint, yes, I will agree that it's a pretty ridiculous premise. And had they not had it, it wouldn't have lost anything from the movie. But also by taking it out, because like I said, it wouldn't take anything away from the movie not being there, taking it out of the equation, then it also makes the rest of the movie really good as well. Because if you don't factor that in, there's so much about this movie that is fantastic. The fact was that the first one felt like it was a very Vegas heist movie. It played off into the original Ocean's 11. This one, it has a completely... So it had the same director, it had the same cast, it had, I'm pretty sure, the same cinematographer, I'm not quite sure. It feels like a completely different movie. It feels like a French foreign caper film. It's got different camera angles. It's got, so they didn't just go, hey, you know that thing that we made so well last time? Let's do that again.
Yeah, like
they
John changed, Wick and John Wick 2. It's the same movie.
Yeah, they changed it up completely. So it's got a different feel. It's got like this really, like I said, a foreign film to it. And so taking Julie Roberts out of it, there you've added Catherine Zeta-Jones. You've got a better story. The human aspect of the characters plays in. It's just a great part where they are trying to beat a rival thief from trying to steal the same Fabergé egg. And if they can do this, then they are going to win a huge amount of money. And the amount of money that they win will then go to pay off Andy Garcia's character from the first movie. And so the French guy who they're competing with breaks into their hotel room and sets all of the watches and clocks in Danny's room, to where he shows up with thinking he's showing up at 4 a.m. and he's knocking on Brad Pitt's door and he's like, why aren't you ready? And Brad Pitt looks at him like, what are you talking about? And he's like, because it's 4 a.m. He's like, no, it's not. It's 1 a.m. And they look at each other and they're like, they didn't understand. And there's just this great moment where they look at each other and Brad Pitt's like, oh, that's just mean. And he's like, oh, that's just mean-spirited. And so they sit on the couch and they watch French-dubbed episodes of Happy Days. And they're sitting there eating ice cream and watching this Happy Days. And just the line of Danny Ocean saying, you know, the guy who plays Potsy is really good. It's just this really fun feel to the film. Yeah. So, yes, I will give you that the Julia Roberts thing is bad. The rest of the movie is not so bad that should ruin a really good movie.
But it does for me. I will agree that I like the fact that this movie feels so different yet feels so similar. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you want. It's the same... It's the same feeling with a different movie. Mm-hmm. And so it's exactly what sequels should be.
Mm-hmm.
But the Julia Roberts thing is just too big for me. I just can't get over it.
Well, you know, when the first script came out, George Clooney taped a $20 bill to Ocean's 11 when they mailed her the script. Because the big joke was that she was making 20 a picture now, is what he wrote. But it was $20 million a movie. But mm-hmm. I thought it was just a fun little...
That's hilarious.
Tidbit. No.
And then 13... broke the mold of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't trying to get money for themselves. This was more of a revenge scheme.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So each one had a very different thing. Because, like, the Hangover movies are pretty much the same movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Ocean movies, each one was a very different movie. They didn't just rest on their laurels and go, hey, we're going to give you the same thing and make a ton of money because it's a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about those movies.
Yeah, if you don't break a deal like with someone who shook Sinatra's hand.
And being the opposite of our show, we're actually really far ahead talking about Ocean's 8, but I am so glad that this female-led movie looks already amazing.
Yeah,
like,
the
trailer.
The cast looks phenomenal.
Sandra Bullock, Cate Blanchett, Mindy Kaling. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
Rihanna.
Oh, I forgot.
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes. Sarah Paulson.
Looking normal.
Right?
Sarah Paulson.
Oh, Helena Bonham Carter, I think, is so underrated in a lot of stuff. It's because she spent so much time being in a relationship with Tim Burton, and it was pretty much Helena Bonham Carter as envisioned by Tim Burton.
Right.
To see her do these other things is so great.
It almost felt like everything she's ever done was an audition to play Bellatrix Lestrange in Harry Potter, mm-hmm. and then once she had that role, now she's free to do regular stuff.
Yeah.
I think it was weird to see her the most normal in a Tim Burton film, which was Big Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is a great movie. Yeah. We should talk about that one of these days.
All right, we'll make that one of the things. Have you seen Big Fish?
My dad wants me to see it. I have not seen it yet.
It's an excellent movie.
I have not seen it either.
All right, done.
Okay, we're not even going to tell you what it's about yet, because just watch it.
All right.
It's. I think it's one of our favorite Tim Burton movies.
I've described it as, it's Tim Burton if you finally got some Xanax.
I have to watch this movie right now.
Like, all Tim Burton's stuff is very depressing, and it feels like he was in a good mood. He was like, guess what? I'm in a good mood. Let's make a movie. Done.
I just know it looked very bright and colorful.
Mm-hmm. The cinematography, from what I've seen of, like, trailers or pictures and stuff, looks brilliant.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie.
Well, it's because parts of it take place in a fantasy world, and parts of it do not.
Oh.
And each one is there for a specific reason. It isn't like an Alice in Wonderland where you, like, go into a fantasy world. It's a storytelling process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And now we have to watch it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to try to make sure we get all these new episodes. We've been getting behind. Chelsea and I are actually in a local community theater play. So if you end up getting a rerun every so often, it's because, like, we just could not find the time to get this handled.
Yeah.
So we're warning you now. But we're in a play called The Man from Earth.
Written by Jerome Bixby.
Uh-huh. Directed by Daryl Alvey and Spencer Deardorff. And it stars a lot of fun people. We're having a really good time. Come see it if you're in the area.
Or if you're not, you want to travel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's good.
Hey, we had someone in the last play we did. We had people traveling from Sacramento, and they just happened to be here on some other matter, and they were in their hotel lobby, and they saw a pamphlet for our playhouse, and they're like, "Hey, let's go see a show."
Yeah, so it's the Riverfront Playhouse. It's 1620 East Cypress in Reading, and the plays are running at 7:30 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. And 2 p.m. on Sundays, and it runs from January 20th through February 10th of this year, 2018.
So get your tickets at the door or at cascadetheater.org.
So if you don't get enough of our website, gomezcast.com, to see what we look like, you can see us in person acting.
There you go. There you go.
We'll be different people, but you'll see it. It's us.
Are we, though?
Yes. Yes, we are. We're different people. All right. This has been We're a Little Behind. I'd like to thank our guest, Monica Hicks.
Thank you for having me.
And Chelsea Bailey.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, no problem. And we'll be back. We're going to try to be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
We're going to be back next week. You're listening to, or have been listening to, We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Good night.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, January 19th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Lift off. Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Sure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Man from Earth. Be there as a retirement party for a far too young professor leads to more questions than answers for a group of friends wishing farewell. Is he immortal or is he an imposter? Only he knows for sure. Written by Jerome Bixby, directed by Daryl Alvey and Spencer Deardorff. Running January 20th through February 10th. Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2. Only at Riverfront Playhouse. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877, or online at cascadetheater.org.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. At a meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Secretary of Homeland Security offers insight into her department's efforts to stem the threat of terrorism in the United States.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen says there is a very good reason why her agency has put terrorism at the top of its priorities list.
3 out of 4 individuals convicted in this country of international terrorism-related charges in the last 15 years were foreign-born.
And Secretary Nielsen adds,
last year,